Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Andy, thank you. Thanks for joining us.
You're in the most important state right now, so I'm happy to talk about any of the issues you want to talk about.
Well, I think this station's the most important in the universe at this point, but that's, I always say, when I wake up, I think the show is, now the station is. But Andy, thank you again. Thanks for being with us. You are a great guy to talk with on a day like this, periodically, to show how far Biden-Harris inflation has gone. David Brooks did it, I think, at the airport in New York. But others we had here locally would show what they paid at a fast food restaurant, various sorts. And people would say they're making it up. They're getting the highest type of thing. And we really ran that down. Obviously, it was true that it even hit fast food. So here's the question for you. Someone who has been inside supply chains, giant thing, all this stuff. What's the best way to get to the average American when she goes with this today? And dismantle it.
Well, you know, for just sticking to fast food for a second, there was a survey about a month ago where the 78% of Americans said they now consider a fast food meal a luxury item purchase. And when I ran CK restaurants, I ran it for 17 years. We had restaurants in 40 countries outside the United States. And I used to go to some countries where fast food actually was a luxury purchase, like. People would go to a Carl's Jr. in Singapore on the weekend to show their get the California experience, and they'd pay higher prices, and it was like a big deal. But I remember thinking back then, that'll never happen in America. You know, that's not the America I grew up in. It's not the America we had in 2019. Fast food shouldn't be a luxury purchase. You shouldn't be shocked every time you go to the grocery store or the gas station. Your savings account should be able to cover an emergency expense. You should be able to buy a house. It should be the American dream, not an impossible dream. And we've had 3.5 years of economic policies that have put all of these rational, low-cost purchases almost out of range. And you can't fix it by going in and saying, well, the government's going to come in and we're going to fix prices. Now, I think, which is what Kamala Harris is saying now, we're going to stop the gouging. There's two problems with that. One is there was no gouging. If you look at there are two measures of inflation, the PPI, the producer's price index, and the consumer's price index, CPI. And if you compare the two, so you look at what businesses were paying, how they were experiencing inflation, and how individual consumers were experiencing inflation because of what businesses charge, they're both up about 19 to 20% over the term of Biden's presidency. Nobody was gouging anybody. Businesses were passing on the expenses that they had to incur because of the ridiculous spending that was done during the Biden administration, which Larry Summers, who's kind of the Democrats' economist emeritus, warned would happen. We'd have inflation we haven't seen in a generation. Well, we got it. And it was because of the American Rescue Plan, which was ridiculously named, and the Inflation Reduction Act, which was tragically named. Both bills, the tie-breaking vote for both bills was Kamala Harris. They're her bills. Mm-hmm. Without her, we would not have those bills. And so the inflation that people are experiencing is directly tied to her policies. And she's trying to come up with anything apart from the policies that the Biden administration had and apart from the policies that President Trump has, because she can't adopt too many of President Trump's policies, or people are going to say, why are we voting for you? But apart from those policies, which we know work, the Trump policies and the Biden policies that caused the problem, she's got to come up with something. And so what she's come up with is the same solution that they came up with the Soviet Union and Venezuela and China. The government's going to come in and set prices. And hopefully Americans can see through that. If that was a good idea, if there really was gouging, if this was the solution to businesses gouging, which honestly wasn't happening, but if it were happening and this was the solution, why didn't she just walk 20 feet down the hall and, you know, knock on Joe Biden's door and say, let's put in place some price controls?
Well, that's the first thing. That's the first question
with inflation.
That's the first question of what they could have done. Why not do that? That politically resonates. As you may remember, Richard Nixon, of all people, tried this abysmal failure. And I don't know that she's really meaning this. All right. Give me your thoughts, Andy. Now, what do you think the appeal is and how to blunt this? The $25,000 down payment thing, if it's your first home.
Obviously, what she's trying to do is appease. There are a lot of people out there that would like to buy a house, particularly young people, and they're very upset with the interest rates and the low supply in the market of houses. Now, that's obviously interest rates are up because of inflation. That's Biden-Harris. And nobody's building houses because interest rates are high, and you can't build them profitably. So you're not getting a lot of new houses coming in, and people are hanging on to the houses they have because they used to have, when they bought them during the Trump years, they had really low interest rates. So people are hanging on to their houses, no new houses coming on the market, and even if there are houses, you can't afford them because interest rates are so high. So she's trying to come up with something where she can say, oh, I'm going to help you. I'm going to take $25,000 per person, and you can then go out and you've got it. It'd be easier for you to buy a house. I think what people will probably realize is that if everybody has $25,000 making it easier to buy a house, if that actually works and more people buy houses, when there's more demand for a product, what happens to the price of the product? Well, it goes up. So you lose a lot of the benefit of having a $25,000 extra down payment because the price of the house goes up. The second thing is, where's all this money coming from? Like, who do we think comes up with that money? You think this is like Kamala Harris? It isn't her money. She's not going to be contributing. You know, she spends, I like to say she and Biden spend like drunken sailors, but that's an insult to drunken sailors because the drunken sailor at least is spending his or her own money. They're spending our money. When Trump came out with this, we're not going to tax tips. We're not going to tax tips for waiters and waitresses and hotel workers. The left came on screen. This is going to cost $100 gazillion billion, you know, over the next 10 years. And Trump's a terrible person. Well, all of a sudden we're going to do $25,000 per person to buy a new house. And nobody's saying, hey, you think that'll increase our $2 trillion a year deficit? By the way, we were screaming when it was $1 trillion under Trump. Now it's $2 trillion, and we're just going to absorb $25,000 per home purchase. How about that $35 trillion in debt that we have? Where does this money come from? Well, it comes from those same working Americans who are out there trying to survive every day, who want to buy these houses, want to have an easier and a better life, don't want this inflation and high interest rates. And these kinds of policies, they may appeal to people emotionally. This may, you know, who knows? This could be successful. Maybe people aren't as smart as I think they are. But if people think about this at all, they're going to see right through these proposals. Every one of them would make the situation worse. And they're all pandering to people's emotions to try and get their votes. The solutions aren't there.
Absolutely. Andy, thank you so much. What's your main focus right now? Is it Trump campaign, America First Institute, Heritage Foundation? What are you up to now?
Well, I think AFPI, the America First Policy Institute, Heritage Foundation, we're all focused on getting President Trump elected. This is such an important election. As I said, Pennsylvania has played a key role in protecting our economic freedom and our individual liberty throughout our 250-year history as a nation. You're playing the key role again. This election comes down to Pennsylvania. If President Trump wins Pennsylvania, we will be out of trouble. We'll get the policies that had us thriving back in 2019. If Pennsylvania goes the other way, I fear for the future of our country.
Andy, when you're talking with them,
to try and get President Trump elected.
I agree with you. When you're talking to Trump or the other people, I try to do my best with Jeff and Drew. I'm taking all my chips. To your point, Andy, I'm pushing them into the table. Whoa, what about this? I'm winning Pennsylvania because I believe all things being equal, I win Pennsylvania. If it's Trump, he's going to win the presidency then. You got to win Pennsylvania.
Yes, I agree 100%. Which the best news in the campaign so far was the first decision that Kamala Harris made as the nominee really took the election, what could have won her the election, and she sacrificed it. She didn't pick Josh Shapiro, which I think told Hamas everything they needed to know about who she would be as a president. But she didn't pick Josh Shapiro, which would have made a big difference in Pennsylvania. I don't know if she still would have won it, but it would have made a difference, and she decided not to do it. I think that tells you everything you need to know about that campaign and that candidacy.
Andy, thank you. Please come back soon. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the time. Bye.
It is pretty simple, Dan. I'm sure there's competing interests there saying, oh, what about Arizona? Oh, my God. We're worried about Florida. Win Pennsylvania, win the presidency. He's right, and that's what it comes down to here. Now, the big question out there, though, is obviously the base that's fueling this with Harris. They'll be celebrating tonight that she's going to move us more towards socialism if she gets her way. That's what she's proposing or even communism. Will it work with those voters that are going to be critical in the 7-6 swing states? That's the question. How do you counter it? All right, 855-839-1210, you get in. I like the angle of Tom Cotton, Dan. He wants the question to be asked, and it brings in this whole issue, which I think ties together the economy and the border. Will illegals be eligible for this stuff? Will people undocumented, call them what you will, are they eligible for this? Get her on record to say, no, we would never do that against American citizens. That's good, even better. Don't get her on record. We go around saying she won't answer. Yeah, illegals are going to get that home. They're going to give them 25 grand.
Rather than broaching corporations at all, you say redirect is the strategy?
Well, the whole corporate thing here is emotionally, I get how that resonates with people, but the figures are not there indicating that they're making a giant profit off this. Again, certain corporations maybe, but the supermarkets, it's not happening. It's competitive.
I think the supermarkets, I'm not an economic expert, but the way I read it, and we were talking about this a little bit yesterday, because people were saying, oh, you know, if you don't like Giant, go shop at Aldi. Well, the reason why Aldi's prices are so cheap is because they don't go with the corporate-style brands, and they're able to do in-house brands for much cheaper. So that's why Aldi, like the supermarkets, so I look at supermarkets, grocery stores, and I still blame corporations to a degree. And I look at a lot of the voting base of Trump, I think there's just as many libertarians as there are classic conservatives, and one of the biggest gripes of libertarians everywhere is the growing presence of corporations in our daily lives.
But when did it start that they were jacking up the price? Why didn't they do it during Trump?
I think they were. I think they started during Trump, and Trump just kind of let it happen to a degree.
But we didn't have inflation at any level. We had the normal level in the 2% range on just about anything that I remember. So I didn't see any evidence of any massive.
I feel like what happened was coronavirus happened, and corporations, a lot of them, used coronavirus as an excuse to a degree, fakely inflate prices.
I'm not seeing that because I think they'd be undercut. I think it's more competitive. We differ on this.
But undercut by who when you have the same corporation owning five different, you know, brands of clean?
But I'm talking about the corporate entity themselves. Like Acme is not owned by Giant, that kind of thing. So they bring out the products and they make the determination. And to some degree, they're going to try to undercut each other on basic products to get people into their store.
Yeah, but they undercut, like, say Kraft makes their ketchup $5 a bottle. Right. That enables Giant to list their ketchup at $4.50 a bottle and still undercut them, but they're still inflating their prices.
Okay, I don't... Again, why didn't it happen under Trump?
My whole point of this is I think if Trump takes a strategy of trying to deter or redirect or anything on the corporations, the question is going to be asked, well, is Trump pro-corporation then? Is he just going to turn a blind eye to their role in inflation? Because I think there's a multifaceted thing that's led to inflation here. And, you know, taking corporations and what they're doing out of it is a big blind spot, in my opinion.
Well, I don't see the evidence of it. I don't see the evidence of it that that's a driver at the level that we're at. Now, if you want to say some people listening have told me, well, I didn't go to Giant because I thought they were high on this, that, or the other, and I didn't think that was correct. Okay. But as the driving force, economically, we know what happens when you put that much money from the government into an economy, you drive out everything else. All right. We got the side question going on today, too. Hit us with an all-time Steve, 855-839-1210. You get on board. So Vice President Harris making these remarks at 2:45 today. We may dip in for 2 minutes or something to give you a flavor of it. I know Mike Opelka in for Rich today will have the opportunity to break it down, but she's going to say the things we're talking about. And this is a big moment because if she can get out from under the blame. And that's what it is. Americans were blaming Biden for this. Now, I think they were correct. If she can get out from under that even a little bit, then that really shores up where she is. She believes she got out from under the border, even though I don't see that she's got out from under this. I like the Tom Cotton approach on the other part of this, $25,000 to first generation more, but to your first home. Can you get that if you're here illegally? Is that going to be to people enough to say, yeah, I want that. I want to get into a home. Trump didn't do anything like that. All right, 855-839-1210. So this is a big moment.
Do you think Trump could win in taking a corporate-style mindset of exposing BlackRock, Vanguard, and the hold that they have on ESG ratings, or do you think that's just going to go over the head of voters?
Yeah,
we talked about it on the show a lot.
Yeah, I think it's maybe we talk radio. I think it's tangential. It's not direct toward where people are. The grocery store is a major thing where they are, seeing that day after day. 855-839-1210. You do get on board and hit us with that all-time Steve. By the way, if you were thinking about coming to our September 12th event with Don Trump Jr., Scottish Rite Auditorium, you got to go and check out now. They just announced yesterday a big flash sale. This is a really, really good discount. You'll see what I'm talking about. Just go to 1210 WPHC's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for a special flash sale on tickets to Politics and Pints with Don Jr. I'm not going to call him Donald. They make me read the copy every time. Am I going to say Donald tonight? I'm going to say Don, right? Playing off the Dom thing alone. I can't say Don. It's got to be Donald. I'll ask his guy. He's not going to say, well, I'm Donald Jr.
Get
I'm not
the name
Don
right.
Jr. He says Don Jr. Who are these people writing this stuff? 1210WPHT.com you can go to. We love to see you there that night. It's going to be spectacular with him. And again, this is a big event before the election. By the way, we'll have news, I think, next week on Mulligans, the last fling. Dan and I have been busily. Dan's had some really good ideas of some of the folks we might bring to Mulligans, the last event of the year. You know, summer ends, that's bad enough, but the Mulligans run ends. Come on. You know, we need to two more. I can picture it right now, just through my head. The events this year have been spectacular. So we'll give you the date next week. Mark it down. Be there. You've said you're going to do it. Last fling of summer. It's all coming. They're itching, the mobs around Gaza, et cetera, to get back to college campuses and go wild and wilder and essentially strike schools. And you're going to see it play out in Chicago this week. They're massing to engage in that. Are they going to give Kamala Harris a pass? We need to have her elected president, so we're not going to go after her, push back her events, et cetera. No, I don't think so. They are a mob. They're out of control. They feel they have the upper hand. And it's going to be interesting to see if that issue penetrates. But I can't emphasize enough that I think today is a big day ongoing from what she's going to try to do and how that plays out in the debate with Trump. So it's going to be in Philadelphia, too, Dan. Trump was right on that. Remember, we talked about that. You know, why does the debate have to be here in Philadelphia? I'm saying that against our own interest. I broadcast from the belly of the Constitution Center when Obama debated Hillary, Dan, and it was unbelievable, the national press.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Even one guy saying, well, who are you? Why do you have with Ed Rendell? Because I have him, buddy. That's
Get
why
him out.
He's talking
Get him
to
out
me.
Of here.
That's why. And I messed up his name. I put together two of these guys that were national, then I put them into one name, calling that. That was even more.
Oh, no.
I love it when the local guy gets the guests that they're. We knocked over a potted plant that was there in the basement as they're trying to get to Rendell. So it will be here. And we'll see initial reaction from this. Republicans have to do a very good job of making people aware about what she's proposing to do, how outlandish it is. Let's say for a moment, they even believe that corporations are out of line here. Let's just say that they believe that they're jacking up the price. The government is going to set those prices. What is jacked up? Tell us what the price is that's jacked up. Tell us specifically what it is that ought to cost less. How much less? How are you going to determine that? So, again, this is going to be a challenge for Republicans to push back on this. And you know, scaring people too, to a degree. When you go down this path, you're going to get shortages. So let's talk about what the impact will be of what she says she wants to do. It will be shortages. It will be lack of abundance. Well, they're going to counter and say, well, how else are you going to stop big fast food and these others from overcharging? All right. What's overcharge? I'd love to hear from some. Dan's laid out some ideas on that. But if you believe you can tell me a product that you think they just jacked up the price, that's going to take a lot of research. That's going to take a lot to determine what the cost should be. And they're all in it together. There's not enough competition. Now, I think of businesses, Ticketmaster is one where I would, if I were running, I'd run against them. I'd say, I'm going to do something about this. And let's go to Jeff in Audubon. He's in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Jeff, welcome in.
Hey, Dom, thanks for taking my call. How are you?
Good, Jeff.
So my point is basically what you just said, you know, in terms of, I work for a company that sells food to restaurants, so I see pricing all the time. There's no way in the world that anybody in the government, unless they're looking at your books, knows what your labor cost is, what your food cost is, what your transportation cost is, you know, the cost of HR and health insurance and all that stuff. You know, they cannot possibly know that you're price gouging unless they know what all your costs are, because your costs are how you set your price. So unless they're looking at that, how do they know? They don't. So yeah. It's just a ruse.
Yeah, but
you know,
what I would say to that, though, you're exactly right. And look at those. Some of those we can directly attribute to Biden, Harris, that people were reluctant to work. They were getting stimulus checks. So we've seen now, and they put in minimum wage, like in California, $20 an hour. We know energy right. costs have gone up. And we know when you overregulate across the board, as they've done, we know what happens. Business has to protect itself, hire more people, be more cautious. All that stuff is costly. So, I would really, Jeff, to your point, go after her on this. But you're really going to have to be buttoned up. You can't just scream socialism, communism. You have to be buttoned up. And I would go after the fact that she's never held any kind of employment outside the government. Most of them have not. How would they know how much that cost has gone up, and have compelling stories of corporations of one sort or another who have legitimate costs that have gone up? And then what is too much profit? The grocery store profits are only 1.2%.
Correct. Correct. And I can just tell you from being in the business myself that if I know competition is overpriced, I'm going into that account and saying, hey, this is our price. Look what you're paying for green beans or whatever it is you're buying, you know, and that, you know, you're going to get that business, especially in
right.
today's atmosphere.
Well, so, they're going to have to prove. We got to force them to make the case, then, is what I would do, that it is truly a monopoly, Jeff, and that they're price fixing. They're all in it together. And that's a right. harder, that's a harder case to actually have to prove rather than just saying it. In other words, I'm going to try to be as marshaled up as I can, as coached up as I can on this, and then force them to put meat on the bone. I don't think she can do it in a debate.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%, Don.
Jeff, do you have a Steve?
So a famous Steve, is that what you're looking
yes.
for?
Yep.
Yeah.
How about, could it be a female? Could it be Stevie Nicks?
Of course.
Off the board, though.
Off the board. All right. You have another one? Yeah, it can be any female. Stephanie's fine, too.
Probably off the board. Steven Spielberg.
That's a great answer.
That's a good one.
Wow.
All right, I'll put you down for that.
Look at that on the spot.
On the spot, Jeff. That was a great call, too. In other words, do they have the burden of proof? Can she give this afternoon with all their researchers explicit examples where there's a monopoly of sorts around an individual product or these companies, and that explains why the cost is given up? And show us how that monopoly is doing it, that there's not real competition there. Okay? You know, my take on this is that I despise monopolies also. All right? Then I see the NFL. How do they get away? I always come back to something like this, examples that are monopolies. All right, phone lines. That was a great call. 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. So their point appears to be, I'm not sure about Harris, but Dan's point, it's not just the said grocery chain, but products in there may have a limited competitive thing as far as what they cost, because in one way or another, companies have gotten a monopoly on said product. Is that true? Well, that would be a pitch battle. Look, to win this, what I'm saying Republicans have to do, they have to be more compelling, more data-driven, and find, I'm always looking for the nugget, one that pushes back on them. Because I'm not going to depend on the American people. I'll be blunt here. Can we depend on them? They're going to see through Harris this afternoon and say, this is the same old nonsense. It's an attack on capitalism. Will they see it that way? Or will they say, you know, that makes sense. I always suspected it. You can't trust those corporations. You got to be ready that this could stick a bit. In other words, compare this to what Biden's been doing. Biden's just wanted to go forward and tout his great economy and saying, I feel your pain, but I'm not doing anything about it. She is willing to get labeled a socialist communist with price controls in order to say, I'm standing up for you. That's where the challenge is here. Look, I think she's incompetent, incapable, but her campaign has been aggressive at taking it to Republicans on our greatest liabilities, the border and this. It's very beatable, but you're not going to beat it just wishing the American people see through this. You got to grab them by the lapels. And Dan Cerucci.
Yeah, I
got
to get it.
Grab them by the lapels and shake them like hell.
That's exactly what you got to do here. That's what it's called for.
You blew it.
I'm sorry I was a little late.
Yeah, all right. It's doable. When they're coming after you, when they're standing with Krasner or not helping you, don't come to us when people are shooting at you, not valuing you, wanting to defund and all that. You got to stand with the people that are with you. Otherwise, as much as it pains me, nope. I am just not going to be involved in anything. It's a big moment here. And Dan, I don't know anything. I'm not saying I know anything, but I put it 50-50 about what's going to happen here. By the way, I did make them aware of something, and thanks to Dan for getting great guests on this week. They're looking into it. We revealed this week that the NFL is forcing police in Vegas to give up biometric data in order to be there and offer protection. I think they work plain clothes, you know, they get paid for it. It's all that police protection of the NFL. And the claim was that they might sell that to organizations that might even be anti-cop. And B, that the NFL is doing this to everyone. So, Dan, you know, I forgot to tell you, our guy says that they're looking into it. All right, let's see what happens then. I mean, does the NFL care about cops? No, they're not respecting them here. We proved that this week. All right, a lot of people want to get, and I'll be coming to you. Coming up, our entertainment guy with us this week. We will talk what's good on TV and what's good in movie theaters or Peacock and the like. And we'll take more of your calls coming up. With all the stuff going on in the world, the thing today that's got people riveted, we found out one of the candidates on a first date with the wife, went to see Falling Down with Michael Douglas. And that set people off either to prove they had some romantic or worthy film or to admit. One guy called in and said, took her to see Tora, Tora, Tora. Oh, my God. So you're an entertainment guy. What did you do the first time you went to a movie with your wife?
Wow, the first time, man. I don't remember the first time, but I think that, like, movies are terrible first dates, right? I mean, like,
oh,
if you actually want to get
this guy, get him out of here, Dan.
Yeah, my kind
Dan
of guy.
Wait a minute, Dan coached him up. This is rigged. Go ahead.
No, that's not true. Actually, he asked me the question, but I didn't answer him. But, you know, the thing is, like, how do you get to know somebody when you're quiet in a movie? I mean, like, you know, I never really got that. So I probably, was a little while till I took my wife to a movie.
Okay.
But that said, I think a scary movie is the best bet. Because then, you know, maybe they get a little scared and they go.
There we go. The age old, right? Yeah. Like, she doesn't know that's coming.
Right now,
Watch that hatchet. And there is the arm. Are you a left arm guy or a right arm guy? I'm more of a left arm, even though I'm right handed.
Or, you know, you could take them to see a diner and then, you know, maybe the popcorn trick will work.
A nice reference. All right. I've been a fan of the Giants and the Weasley, sort of Weasley GM with Hard Knocks. Thought it was a very good one. But I've only seen, I think, one, Scott, and I liked it better so far, of the Chicago Bears on HBO. Maybe because of the new quarterback. Something about it I liked a little bit better. How about you?
I actually I think I like the other one a little better. I think they're both pretty good, but I think I like the other one a little better. I like the back office dealings and all that stuff that we don't really know of. Like the on-field stuff, I think we get a pretty good grip of, but I love that back office stuff. Because that's a thing that we never saw before. So I thought that was really cool. But I do like the way we're seeing this new, you know, the new quarterback of the Bears and how he's kind of being acclimated and stuff like that. You know, did it occur to you, Dom, how it almost seems like, you know, you got to remember, like, when you watch these, how you're reminded that these are just kids, right? And when you watch, you know, you think that there's these grown men and these big athletes and they're making tons of money. But really, when you look at their behavior and stuff, you start to realize they're just kids, right, Dom? And it's kind of alarming in a way that these kids are given all this attention and all this opportunity and all this, no wonder they screw up. You know what I'm saying? Like, because you're literally handing them a lot on their plates. But when they're not doing, like, athletic stuff and stuff, you can see their, like, kind of very immature behavior. Right, Dom? It's a little bit.
Oh, I agree with you. That's why you got to try to choose somebody who suddenly, you're right, is a kid and maybe getting on paper anyhow $40 to $100 million. You got to say, uh-oh, that could be a problem. Your point. Sure.
Yeah, I think that's been the best thing for me about this, the Bears thing, because I never watched these Hard Knocks before. So to me, it's really enlightening to see and to kind of remind us that these are 21, 22-year-old kids that are thrown into the wolves, man. You know, and you know, wonder why they screw up sometimes, you know. So I give them a lot of credit when you see the work ethic and what they have to do to make it every day. And they keep using that word grind, and it's a grind, man. It is a grind being in the NFL.
Scott, what's the big thing now, either theaters, somewhere else that we can get a film? What are you watching that you really like, you recommend today?
I know that it's not great by any means, but I think Borderlands, the movie that was made, that's been like, I think it's going to be one of the biggest box office bombs of all time. I think it had $125 million budget and made $8 million last week, and it's gotten really hammered. And I went to see it, and maybe it was because I had zero expectations. I liked it a little more than maybe I should have. It's Kevin Hart. Jack Black is a robot. I thought it was funny. I thought it was really fun sci-fi. It's based on a video game. And I think that anybody that played the video game will like it. I think it's certainly not great, but it's way better than what I thought it was going to be.
It's purely as a film, though. If you didn't play the video game, I don't mean to interrupt you, Scott, but if you did not play the video game, is it still something relevant enough that you can just sit there and you don't need to know the backstory and you understand it, or where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I don't think you have to. I think it's just a mindless, fun flick. There's nothing deep about it. There's nothing that we haven't seen before, but it's just fun summer movie and an IMAX screen. I thought that was fine. You know, I don't think it's good. I think it might end up being one of those cult movies just because of the bomb it was. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And then I know the other one I didn't like so much, and I won't rip it too much, is I thought Shyamalan's movie was a little disappointing, Trap. I won't rip it too hard, but I thought I went in there expecting it to be a little better, because I really liked the End of the World movie with Batista, that Knock at the Cabin. So I went in there hoping it was going to be a little better than it was.
What's the best Shyamalan flick in your guys' opinion?
Sixth Sense. That's about the only one, I think.
No. I like The Sixth Sense. That probably is the best. But I really think the one with the other one with Bruce Willis, with Samuel Jackson, based on, it's like a comic book, but it's not. Come on, man. Why am I not getting that?
Unbreakable.
I actually like Unbreakable a little more than Sixth Sense.
Now, yeah. Scott, on Netflix, do you like Eric? And I wanted to ask you, I don't think we talked about this. I like Owning Manhattan. It's a guilty pleasure, but I pick up several things in there that I like.
I have this guilty pleasure of these reality shows, too. And
yeah.
Owning Manhattan is one particularly good one.
I think it is, yeah.
Owning Manhattan, you know, so that's why I come on the show. You can turn me on to something, but
I
don't think this is going to be it, guys. I got to be honest with you. It looks like the next Bachelor or something. What is this thing? Is it like a real estate Bachelor? What is this?
I was going to tell you the great thing they do is somehow or another these brutal moments, they allow the cameras to be there. It's about a rising real estate company that actually is trying to sell, among other things, a building in Central Park that would cost you $250 million. And it's about 700
feet high. What I like about the show that differentiates from like Selling Sunset and all these others is I love the guy's drive. And you're talking like the real estate of all real estate agents, and it's fascinating to watch. But I think it takes a special type to enjoy these reality shows. I don't know. Is Riss into these types of like Real Housewives? Because Maisie's into it. They kind of spurned into this, and we're liking this show. But is this something you've ever broached, Scott?
No, she's more into like stuff like vampire stuff or like Buffy the Vampire spinoffs, like stuff like that. Yeah, she's not. But I'm looking at the picture of this. I'm looking at the picture of this guy from Owning Manhattan. You want to talk about if the guy from the Giants was sleazy? What's this guy?
Oh, Scott, you watch one of this. I'm telling you, you'll be intrigued because it has that element. But they're very creative. They're brilliantly executed how they film this. So. Scott, what's happening this weekend as we churn through August here in AC?
Well, in AC, real quick, but by the way, Aliens Covenant came out yesterday. I can't wait to go see it. I'm a big Aliens fan. This is a new launch movie. So that's going to be the big movie this weekend for everybody that's looking for something. And tomorrow night, we have an amazing Tom Petty tribute band starring our very own Chuck Darrow, who I think a lot of us know. He plays
bass
in the band.
Sure.
But it's maybe the best Tom Petty tribute band I ever saw there. A free show, no cover, 8 o'clock tomorrow, Tennessee Avenue, Beer Hall. I hope everybody comes out.
Thank you, Scott, very much. And watch that first
date. Before we let Scott go, I'm just curious, what does Chuck Darrow play?
He's bass, a great bass player.
Really? I didn't know that. Huh, today I learned.
All right,
by the way, if you're a Tony Danza fan, he's playing tonight at Resorts. He was on my show recently, and he does a night like a really cool show, like song and dance, like Sinatra kind of thing. It's tonight at Resorts if anybody wants to check it out.
But he's actually... Show.
It's actually better than it sounds, believe it or not.
All righty. Good stuff. Dan, why don't you check out, see how long he's there? Tony Danza can come over to Mulligan's.
We got him on, right?
He's a Philly guy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We can get him over to Mulligan's if he's an AC.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be a good guess. Who's the boss, among other things? He was a teacher, too. That's what I interviewed him on. All right. Big 2 o'clock hour. We have Dom's Money Melody. Got a lot of people waiting. There is anticipation today because this is the first time that current VP, Harris, if we're going to be proper, is unveiling some kind of policy. And it's a whole array of things. Oh, by the way, of course, she's going to tell us insulin. Can we stop it already? Trump capped insulin. You can look it up. We're not going to go through that excruciating. It's not the end of the world, biggest thing, but he did it. Stop taking credit for it.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.